Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Lots to talk about today regarding the roller coaster ride that has become this war. But first, let's go over the salient economic data. The March non-farm payroll report came out on Good Friday, even though the market was closed, which I find disgusting. Anyway, the BLS says there were 178,000 net new jobs created and the unemployment rate fell to 4.3%. 75,000 of those jobs were healthcare workers added, but that was just the rehiring from the strike that occurred in California. On the other hand, there were 396,000 fewer people in the labor force as the labor force participation rate continues to shrink. And the household survey showed a loss, not a gain, a loss of 64,000 jobs. Also, average hourly earnings were up 3.5, just 3.5% year over year versus the estimate of 3.7%, which means real wages in the real world are stagnating at best and falling most likely. And most importantly, aggregate hours worked are falling, meaning the preponderance of jobs being created are for part-time employment with lower wages and no benefits. So the total labor impulse into the economy is less. I mean, who cares if you have two people working instead of one, if those two people are working 4 hours instead of the one person that's working 8 hours? You understand. The bottom line is the labor market remains weak. It's not falling off a table, but it's weak. And that is true despite the better than expected headline number for March. Okay. At the very least, for the immediate future and maybe even longer than that, an inflation shock, and I said shock and I'm not being hyperbolic, an inflation shock lies dead ahead. The CRB index of 19 commodities is up 36% since the start of the Iran war. That is half of the entire post-COVID increase, which sent inflation rates in the U.S. to a record high of between 17 and 20%, if they were calculated with the same methodology used in 1980. But they're not, so inflation went to 9%. So inflation, instead of being 2%, is going to be somewhere around 4 to 5%. In fact, as a matter of fact, a little anecdotal story for you. It cost me $90 in sunny Southwest Florida. $90 to fill up my regular sized sedan with premium gas on Monday. $90, one tank. That is enough to make a significant difference in the consumption habits of the bottom four quintiles of American consumers. But this is not just an American issue. It's an international crisis, much worse in other countries. Energy and commodity prices in general are surging, and that includes this, you know, truce that we have. I'll get to that in a second. Energy, utility, commodity prices are surging on a global basis. So what do I think is next for the war, and what do I think is next for energy prices? In my view, the U.S. can no longer just decide to pack up and go home. I know that's what we decided to do, but I don't think that's tenable. There's just too much antipathy that has already been sown between the two warring factions. Declaring victory or making some kind of ceasefire and pretending to make peace with some impotent or imaginary new regime in Iran will not open the Strait of Hormuz the way we want it, and it will not bring energy prices back anywhere close to where they were pre-war. That's in the 60s. Unfortunately, if energy prices are to fall in the medium term, more than what's happened today, and longer term, the U.S. must take control of the Strait, and that means a massive and protracted escalation in the war. The opposite of what you're hearing now, which absolutely involves significant ground forces. I still think that's likely to occur. It's a very high probability. But that engenders the question, what does Russia, North Korea, and China think about having America control 20% of the world's oil, seaborne transportation. The salient question remains, if Iran's military has already been obliterated, and the new regime that the U.S. is allegedly negotiating with and has made a deal with is more reasonable and is begging for a deal, then how is it that Iran is still able to control the Strait of Hormuz? And why is it necessary to blow them back to the Stone Age as was threatened, or end their civilization as was threatened? So a lot of this just does not make sense. That's why you have to stick to the fundamental model. The arcane components of the model are crucial to get you through the headlines, which are conflictory and nonsensical. I mean, after all, we had obliterated their ability to enrich uranium in the summer of last year with our bunker buster bombs. Operation Midnight Hammer was a 12-day war that supposedly destroyed the nuclear facilities in Fordow, Natanz, and Isfahan. In June of 2025, obliterated, knocked those nuclear capabilities back to the Stone Age. And then we killed most of their leadership on February 28th with the launch of Operation Epic Fury. And since then, we have launched 1,000 cruise missiles and bombed over 12,000 targets in Iran. In any event, our president has indeed earned the name Taco. Trump always chickens out once again. For the third time, he has backtracked on his threat to destroy the Iranian energy and water infrastructure. He threatened to destroy energy and water infrastructure of Iran three times, and three times he's backed out. Now, his F-bombed Easter message, which consisted of bombing Iran back to the Stone Age and to end its civilization if the Strait of Hormuz was not fully opened by 8 p.m. on Tuesday, came and went. And we now have another can kick from Trump, this time a ceasefire for 2 weeks. But as I say, I pray that it holds. I hope that it holds. I pray for the peace. I pray for the best outcome. But it just doesn't make any logical sense to me. The condition being that Iran fully opens the strait on our side. However, as I've clearly laid out, they're not going to do that. In contrast, Iran immediately responded to the U.S.'s ceasefire deal by lobbing missiles at Saudi Arabia, saying the U.S. violated the agreement, that further negotiations are unreasonable, and it will now halt further passage of ships through the strait. That's all, even though the market surged today, that's what supposedly is happening. I am very sure that Trump would annihilate Iran with alacrity if he could, if he can get away with it, if he can do so without markets backfiring. Just as I'm sure he would have loved to keep his Liberation Day tariff levels in place, written in stone forever and ever. You know, it was supposed to be Liberation Day, April 2nd of last year. That lasted a week because the markets went in full retard. However, what prevents Trump from having his druthers are the markets. Plunging stock prices, rising bond yields, surging commodity prices, rising inflation rates, drooping approval ratings, and skyrocketing deficits are what keeps him in check. So where does this leave us now? Now, for those that worship Donald Trump, he is a master negotiator. He's playing 3D chess. He has brought peace and lasting prosperity to the Middle East. He's opened up the strait and caused oil to crash by 15% today. For those truth seekers like myself, I'm a libertarian. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I hate both parties. I like Republicans more than Democrats, but I love libertarians the most. But all we have done is to establish a very fragile 2-week ceasefire agreement. But Iran remains in control of the strait. They're going to impose tariffs. The Ayatollah's son is in charge, who is supposedly worse than his father. There's been no regime change, just a personnel change. Iran keeps their enriched uranium, and the Islamic Republican Guard Corps keeps their munitions. Most importantly, oil, even after today's plunge, is up 40% from its pre-war level. So what have we really gained that was not already provided for us after the obliteration of Iran's nuclear sites last summer? The sad answer is this: probably nothing, except to demonstrate to nations the importance of having a nuclear arsenal. have a nuclear weapon like North Korea, and there's nothing anybody can do. Don't have a nuclear weapon, and we're going to do to you whatever we want. Now, I'm not the Iranian regime is an evil regime, and I'm so glad it's been decimated. But that's a one-day affair. If Iran is going to have their freedom, if Iranian people are going to have a democracy, then it must be engendered from within, from ground zero. They must be in charge of the revolution. Not us. We are not in the business of nation building. We don't have the treasure or the blood to spill. So the sad truth is, the main message from what's occurred is, if you don't have nuclear weapons, get them as soon as possible. For me and my clients, we will continue to rely on the model which once again led us through a market crisis unscathed. Is the current fragile peace accord going to hold? I don't think so. I pray it does. I pray for peace. But no matter what happens, I am 100% convinced that the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle strategy will identify what trades the insiders that run this world, the multi-billionaire oligarchs and generals, and the people who know what's going to happen and make moves with their wallets, which we identify. That model, that process will ensure we remain on the correct side of the second derivative of inflation and growth. And that puts the odds of success dramatically in our favor.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.